thyroid, and we're getting into the thick of it, the really heavy duty stuff, the stuff that's going to make you stand out in the crowd when you're working with somebody with thyroid problems. This is the stuff that there's not that many people who really do. And yes, there's more and more, and the people are getting educated in it, but it's not the norm. And what you're going to find is that for most of the people that you're working with, their doctors haven't done any of this. They haven't looked this. And suddenly you become the hero because you're able to find this stuff. This chart will look overwhelming when you first look at it because there's a lot of yeses or nos and all. But I'm going to explain to you how the chart is laid out. It's also in your thyroid lab tests document. We have down the left-hand column, we have listed the various and sundry markers that we can look at to determine what's going on with the thyroid. And I didn't distinguish between thyroid peroxidase or antithyroglobulin. I just wrote thyroid antibodies. If either one of those antibodies is positive, then it's considered a positive. I give you the units that we're working on. These are the U.S. units. If you're working on international units, you need to go online and find a conversion or get Dr. Weatherby's book on functional lab analysis. Dr. Weatherby has, Dickon Weatherby, he has a nice chart in the back of his book, and it makes it a lot easier for you guys in Canada and Europe and all that. And in addition, if you were to just take the numbers and look in my spreadsheet that I gave you, you can look to see how to convert them that way. So we're looking at what the units are, and the units are important because some labs may be using a different unit. They may be using nanograms instead of picograms or milligrams instead of micro, whatever. And then the numbers are going to be different when we look at ratios. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Thyroid antibodies are not measured in a unit. It's just yes or no, and the amount, the quantity. So there's no amount per milliliter. It's just the quantity. And the ideal in the antibodies is between 0 and 2, right? You don't want to have anything shooting at your thyroid. The lab range is oftentimes up to 34, which to me says there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of autoimmune activity going on there. And personally, in my body, I don't want it. So then across the top, in addition to the units and the ideal high and low, we have the listing of the major categories of thyroid pattern. We have primary hypothyroid, pituitary and hypothalamic hypothyroid, autoimmune hypothyroid. Then we have a column for autoimmune hyperthyroid. Under conversion of T4 to T3, meaning you're not converting enough, that deiodinase enzyme is thwarted. Over conversion of T4 to T3, meaning you're making too much T3 from your T4. And that would be somebody who shows signs of hyperthyroid, even though they don't have an autoimmune disease, even though they don't have high levels of the T4 that's being made, the free T3 would be high. Then we have high and low thyroid binding globulin. Remember, that's not thyroglobulin, that's thyroid binding globulin, which is the protein that transports. If you have a high level of thyroid binding globulin, it means that a lot of the thyroid hormone is being bound up to the protein carrier and is not being released to be active. And if you have low levels of the thyroid binding globulin, it means that you have more free hormones floating around. And one of the problems with having more free hormone floating around is, in addition to showing hyperthyroid signs, you end up wearing out the receptors, similar to what happens in insulin resistance. The excess amount of exposure that those receptors get creates a problem. And then the last column is thyroid resistance. And if you look down that column, it has an N, meaning negative. So N is meaning normal. Normal. H is high and L is low. So you can see with thyroid resistance, we're not going to get a lot out of doing the lab exam. We're just going to know, okay, there's something going on here. This person clearly displaying thyroid signs. They must have thyroid resistance. And we'll go to a little bit more on differentiating that as we go through this. So let's just go down. Primary hypothyroidism. The TSH is always high on primary hypothyroidism. It's always high. But the total T4, free T4, T3 uptake, free T3, all of the levels are usually normal or low. Now, a lot of times you're going to see them normal. but they can be normal or low. If you see a high TSH with a high T3 or T4, you scan across, you'll see that that's more in one of the other patterns. Hypothyroid, high TSH, normal or low on all the others except reverse T3, usually you'll see it as normal because you're not having a conversion issue, you're not having a resistance issue. So it's usually normal, and the thyroid antibodies are normal. In addition, there are a few other markers, and we could add others to this as well, but these are markers that you would want to look at. It's normally, cholesterol would be normal or high. Triglycerides are usually high, so that's a clue. But the cholesterol can be high as well. Calcium can be normal or high. So what I recommend that you do if you're using this, if you're trying to analyze someone's labs, print off a copy of this and get a little highlighter and then go through and just mark where they're at. Okay, they have a high TSH, they have a normal T4, normal this, normal no, they have a low this, and you get a sense as you go through their whole lab where most of the little yellow dots are falling to get a sense of what pattern they're in, because there will be overlap, and there may be several patterns operating at the same time, and that would give you a little bit of a skewed result. So when you look at the pituitary hypothalamus, and when we look at the 22 patterns, there's 5 patterns of pituitary hypothalamic hypothyroidism. In that case, the TSH is always low. If the TSH is low, and this is not an autoimmune, there's no antibodies, this is generally a problem with the pituitary hypothalamus. If you had a low TSH and a high T4, T3, any of the markers, any of the thyroid hormones themselves, then you would be suspecting more of a hyperthyroid. Now we're getting into autoimmune. We have hypo and we have hyper. There's 2 kinds of autoimmune: hypo, thyroid peroxidase, antithyroglobulin, or both can be elevated, one or both. So the TSH with autoimmune hypothyroid can be either normal or high. It's not necessarily going to show high. That's why I think it's a big mistake to not run the antibodies on everybody that runs a thyroid. And again, the hormones themselves can be either normal or low. The reverse T3 is usually normal, and the antibodies are going to be showing elevation. Now, in some cases, somebody might show a 5 or an 8 on their antibodies. Is that something that you can say, oh, this person has Hashimoto's? No. They're tending towards that way. There is some autoimmune activity happening, and now's the time to intervene. And we'll talk about interventions later on in the presentation. If they already have a high TSH, in some cases we see a very high TSH. Sometimes we see it in the hundreds, whereas the normal range is 1.8 to 3. Now, let me just mention about this normal range, the ideal range. Dr. Karazian believes it's 1.8 to 3, and that when the TSH goes below 1.8, there's often some overlooked pituitary hypothalamic involvement. And when we look at the patterns, I'll show you what I mean. Others say that the lower the better. I think Dr. Rind, who I gave you a link to, he talks about it being ideal between 1 and 2. So the TSH values, it's so controversial. We know clearly if it's above 3. That there's an issue, that there's a problem. We know clearly if it's below 0.5 that there's probably an issue. But there's some gray area in there where you have to look at the big picture. So just so you know, you might see this differently somewhere else. This was Dr. Karazian's range. Oftentimes, if somebody has a 1.5 or 1.0, then I'm looking at it based on the rest of their presentation to see if I think it's an issue. Okay. So then we have an hyper autoimmune. So in a hyperthyroid autoimmune, you're going to see a low TSH. You're going to see a normal or high T3, T4, free T3, free T4, T3 uptake. You usually see a normal level of reverse T3, but you're going to see the thyroid antibodies high. And in particular, there's one called TSI, thyroid stimulating immunoglobulin. It's rare to see TPO antibodies in a hyper situation, but it's common to see antithyroglobulin. So any or all of those antibodies, but if the TSI is there and you have antibodies and a low TSH, it's normally indicative of a hyperthyroid. And you'll be able to look at their presentation as well. You know, are they jittery? Are they thin? Are they wiry? And then again, there's no pattern with the cholesterol, but oftentimes you will see either a normal or low cholesterol with the hyperthyroid person, low triglycerides and normal or low calcium. Their metabolic rate is really up. So let's talk about conversion. This is a very frequently overlooked problem. In order for your body to utilize the thyroid hormone, it needs to be converted to T3. If you're not converting T4 to T3 adequately, your tissues are not going to be receiving it. So your blood looks normal, your TSH looks fine, your total T4 looks fine. But if you have an issue with conversion, you're still going to have signs of hypothyroid. So these are those subtle ones that are often overlooked. If you look at some of the causes, which I have at the very bottom of the chart, you've got deficiency of cofactors, things like selenium, iodine, and other nutrients. And I will go through that in detail in the chart, in the nutrient chart. Sometimes deficiencies of serotonin and dopamine can affect the T4 to T3 conversion. Gut dysbiosis, inflammation, which leads to increased cytokines, and excess cortisol in terms of stress. The opposite, and this one is more rare, the conversion from T4 to T3 is overconverting. Again, normal TSH, the thyroid hormones themselves may be normal or low, depending on what else is going on. They may or may not be total, but the free is going to be usually what you're going to see in an overconversion pattern is that the T3, free T3 looks good or is high, and the free T4 is low. So more T4 is getting converted to T3. Same thing with underconversion, really looking at the ratios between the T3 and the T4. You can look at the totals or you can look at the free or both. I recommend looking at both. If the T4 is good and the T3 is low, then it's an underconversion pattern. The most common cause of overconversion is excess testosterone. It can be in a male or a female, but it's excess testosterone. Then we can look at the binding globulin. Remember, that's the protein carrier. Takes the thyroid and carries it around the cell and delivers it to your cells. The TSH looks good. The total T4 norm looks good. But the free T4 is going to look low. You may have a total T3 that looks good, but the free T3 looks low. So this is how you can differentiate between underconversion and a high thyroid binding globulin. In an underconversion, the T4, free T4 is going to be high or good, and the T3 is going to be low. But in the thyroid binding globulin, you're going to see high levels of the total, or normal levels of the total thyroid T3, T4, and then low levels of the free because there's too much thyroid binding globulin. It's tying up and not allowing those to become free and work. The most common cause is excess estrogen. So you want to ask somebody about their exposures to xenoestrogens, but you also want to ask them about birth control pills and also, of course, a bioidentical supplementation. Getting to the low thyroid binding globulin, again, you know, you've got the normal TSH, your total T4 is going to look good. But the free T4 is going to be high, right? Because you don't have enough of the binding globulin. You may think, well, why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem if you end up with high free T3 and you end up with hyperthyroidism signs because you're getting too much. Even though you're not producing too much thyroid hormone, what's reaching your cells is giving the signal of too much, and it can cause receptor burnout. And the cause of that is usually excess testosterone. Thyroid resistance has a lot of causes: inflammation with elevated cytokines, cortisol. All these things damage the receptors and prevent the transport of the thyroid into the cell. Deficiency of vitamin A, even elevated homocysteine. So these are all issues that happen in these patterns. So the first thing you need to do when you get the lab back is determine what pattern they're falling into. It's not just looking at the TSH, it's not just looking at the totals, it's not just even looking at the antibodies. It's looking at the big picture. So you can detect what pattern is happening and you can know the right thing to do to intervene. This is a summary of the adrenal versus thyroid major symptoms. Body temperature in thyroid is low and consistent. Hypoadrenal is low and fluctuates. The energy pattern in hypothyroid is usually sluggish, with hypoadrenal is oftentimes wired and tired, like we can get the second wind late at night. With hypothyroid, there's usually difficulty losing fat, and with hypoadrenal, it's usually difficulty gaining muscle. Blood pressure is normal to high with hypothyroid. It's usually low to normal with hypoadrenal, especially orthostatic hypotension, where when you go down, when you lay down and then you stand up, the blood pressure goes down, common with hypoadrenal. With the cholesterol, oftentimes with the hypothyroid, it's high, and with the adrenal, it's low. And then the sweating, scanty or none versus profuse. You have profuse sweating with hypoadrenal and scanty or none with thyroid. And then the bowels are either irritable or the person is sluggish or constipated. This is a summary. I love the Dr. Rind thing, but it goes on for pages and pages and it can be confusing. If you can just kind of look at the major things, that gives you an idea.